Turned off Chav Zayin in Masechtas Nedarim. We're going to start from the Eisvei Ravina, the Rava, three lines from the bottom of Chavav Amaveis. But in order to do that, we kind of have to work our way through what the Gemara is talking about. Obviously, if we're asking a question, there's a whole sugya beforehand. So, going back to Chav Hei Amaveis, so let's just go through a quick introduction. And then we can pick it up from there. Going on Daf Chav Hei Amaveis, there's a Mishnah that brings a story where a guy walks in and sees a bunch of people eating, and he says makes a neder that everybody should be usher. And then it turns out that his father and his brother are one of the people that are there. So he says, "Oh, I never meant my father." Okay, so it's a machlekes Beishamai Beishilo. Beishamai says, "Okay, fine." So his father becomes the exception to the rule, but everybody else is still usher. When we say usher, by the way, we mean Beis Shammai Shita, that everybody else remains usher. Obviously, he never meant his father in the first place, so therefore his father is the exception, but everybody else remains usher. Beis Hillel, on the other hand, says, what do you mean? If the father is mutter, then that means that the neder, which he originally made, was intended to go against everybody, is not chal anymore, so the whole neder falls apart. That's Beis Hillel Shita. The Gemara then brings a similar type of case, which is actually a Mishnah on Daf Samach Vav, also a Masechtas Nedarim, where a person again made a somewhat similar type of neder, where he said, "I want to be usher from eating or drinking, let's say eating bread or drinking wine for the entire year." And then we realize that, of course, there's Shabbos and Yantif, which that neder won't be chal. So once again, we have a similar machlokes. The Chachamim Shita is no problem. All the other days of the year remain usher, like his original neder. And Rabbi Akiva argues and says, no, once I say that Shabbos and Yantif are mutter, so now I've made an exception, I poked a hole, so to speak, in the neder. Rabbi Akiva says the whole neder falls apart. Once again, same idea. Rabbi Akiva is similar to Beis Hillel, that if you're saying that the neder is not chal, then the whole neder is not. You can't start making exceptions to the rule. It's either the neder the way it is chal, or it's not chal, and then the whole thing falls apart. Okay. That's the machlekes. That's the starting place where the machlekes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is. Then you have two explanations that we're going to give, and this is where it gets complicated, and this is where what the Eisvei is going to be on. You have a machlekes Rabba and Rava to explain what exactly is the scenario, of the change of neder. What exactly did he change? When he said, "Oh, I don't like that original neder, I want to change it." What did he say? So Rabba takes the position that says that if he didn't really change anything, he just says, "I want my father to be the exception," meaning the neder is still the same neder, everybody is usher, except for my father. So then everybody would agree. That's not where they're arguing. That's what we refer to in the Lashon of the Rishon, and that's called Maimed. Maimed meaning he's maintaining the same neder. He's just adding on the clarification that his father is the exception. So there, according to Rabba, there is no machlekes. That's considered the same neder. So there's no reason to argue. Where do they argue? They argue where the person says, "Oh, had I known, I would have made a completely different type of neder. I would have, instead of making a general neder, I would have pointed out who the people are that are usher." That's where you have the machlekes Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim, and I'll say, for simplicity's sake, the same thing the machlekes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel also seem to be arguing in that case. So again, according to Rabba, they're arguing where I'm changing the neder, not just making an exception, where I'm changing the neder. Rava has the opposite explanation. He says, no, just the opposite. If I'm keeping the neder the same, and I am, so to speak, making the hole, that's where the machlekes is. Okay, so Rava is saying it's actually, they're arguing in that case where I'm keeping the same neder. And that alone is enough for Rabbi Akiva to say, well, in that case, it's not a good neder anymore. Whereas, if I'm changing the whole neder, then there's nothing to talk about. Then everybody agrees it's a totally different neder. If it's a totally different neder, then there's nothing to talk about. Even the Chachamim or even Beis Shammai would agree that you have no neder. So again, Rabba, just to clarify so that we can, and then we'll pick up on where the Gemara is. According to Rabba, they argue where I'm changing everything because it's a whole new neder, but that's where the Chachamim will still say, no, but Lamaisa, it's the same result. Even though I'm changing the neder, it's the same result that everybody else is usher and the father is mutter. or all the other days are asur and yontif is mutter. It's the same result. So therefore, the Chachamim will still argue that it's that the rest is still asur. Whereas Rava says just the opposite. He says they're arguing where it's the same, where they argue where it's the same exact, everything is the same. And even there, Rabbi Akiva will say, well, you can't change anything. Because if you're changing anything, hutr miksosoi, hutr kuloi, once you change part of the nether, the whole nether falls apart. Okay, so that is, now we've established the basics. We have established the basics for where the machlokes, where the machlokes Rabbi Akiva and the Chacham are, according to Rabba and according to Rava. Just to mention, but it's not relevant for the Eisvei that we're about to ask, we also brought a machlokes between Rav Meir and Rav Yossi. Again, just I want to bring that in as an aside, because that was part of the sugya, that Rav Meir says that we go basu lashon rishon, tafas lashon rishon, and Rav Yossi say we go lashon achron. Okay, but that's not part of the question that the Gemara is going to discuss right now. So I just want to mention it, but that's not the key factors that we need to know for the next Gemara's question. So that takes us, with that introduction, that takes us now to the Eisvei on the bottom of Chavav Amudeis. Three lines from the bottom. Eisvei Ravino Lirovo. So again, we're going to bring a similar type of brisa. It has the same kind of factors over here, and we're going to see who's talking and what the machlekes is. Rav Nosson Omer, Yesh Neder Shemiktsosay Mutter Miktsosay Aser. There are some nedarim where you could have it's partially intact and partially the neder is the exception. It's going to be mutter. Ketzad. So Nodar Minakal Kolo. So he made a neder about a basket, again similar to the way we've been discussing till now. He wants to aser everything that's in the basket. Now on the top of Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, V'hayuba b'nai shuach. But in the basket are certain dates that are either b'nai shuach or b'nai sheva, depending on which gears you have. But the point is that there are certain dates that are very good, and there's no reason why a person would make them aser. Okay, so again, it's the same idea that had I known that these dates are in the, or these figs rather, these figs are in the basket, I never would have asered them. Which is a similar concept to what we've been saying till now, that I never intended in the first place to make this, the nether in this case. V'omar, and the person says, now here's the key. Because depending on what he changes is going to be where the machlekes is, and the difference between Rava and Rava. So this Brisa says very clearly, and he says, "Ilu ha'isi yadei shebenashuach v'soicha." Had I known that these good figs are in the basket, lo ha'isi neider hak neider, I would not have made this neder. So this is a very general statement, because he's definitely adding on this exception. Hakakola asura. So once again, we conclude the similar type of halacha that we said originally. The basket remains also b'nai shuach mutares, and these good dates or good figs are going to be mutter. He's allowed to clarify. And the Gebraisa continued, Ad shabar Rabbi Akiva, the limeid, and Rabbi Akiva says, no, neder shehuter miksosoi, huter kuloi, the whole neder falls apart. So right again, this scenario is very similar to the scenario as the Mishnah on Samach Vav in Samach Vav later in the Masechta, where once we realize that I didn't mean to make the neder on part of the what's included, then according to Rabbi Akiva, the whole thing falls apart. Now, of course, all of this depends on what he changed when he realized there was a part in here that I didn't want to include. My love. Remember, this is supposed to be a question on Rava. So my love, the Omer Ilu Yisi Yadeh Shemanashurach B'Saicha, had I known that there were good figs in there, Hayisi Oimer to Enish Shacharis Ulevanis Asurais, these and these are going to be also, which is similar to the Zeh Lezeh. That's where, so he's changing the Neder itself. Menashurach Mutaris and the Menashurach are Mutar. V'Rabbi Akiva Hi, and this would be Rabbi Akiva, Upligi Rabbanon. Sorry. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva hi, upligi Rabbanon. So you're going to tell me that that's only Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanon argue? Meaning, the Mishnah very clearly says this is the case where it's a machlekes. And even so, we're saying now that the case of the machlekes is where he's changing everything, which is exactly the way Rabba learns. Remember, if you remember the introduction, we say that according to Rabba, they argue only in a case where he changed everything. But according to Rava, where you changed everything, everybody would agree it's mutter. It's a completely different neder. That's not the neder I originally made. Even according to Rava, everybody would agree it's mutter. So, therefore, the Gemara is asking Akasha on Rava. that according to Rava, in that scenario, everybody should hold its mutter. And here we see that the way we're explaining right now, that's a machlekes Rabbi Kiva and the Rabbanan, so it's a kasha on the way Rava's learning. Again, because we set up the Braisa to be discussing a case where I changed everything. So if I changed everything, that doesn't make sense. That wouldn't be the case, according to Rava, that Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanan argue. So which the Gemara is able to give a very simple answer. He says, Loi ba'omer, the case has to be, if you want to explain this price, according to Rava, ba'omer ilu ha'yisi yoideh shaban ha'yishuach b'soicha, if I had known originally that the good dates and good figs are in there, ha'yisi omer kola kokola asura, I would have kept my nether the same. And I would have said, I would have maintained, yes, I meant that everything should be asur ben ha'yishuach b'taras, but I would have clarified originally that the good food is mutter. So, and according to Rava, that's perfect, because that's exactly where the machlekes is. According to Rava, they argue, where I really meant to keep the same nether, but I wanted a loophole in the nether. And that's where Rabbi Akiva says, no, if you're starting to make loopholes, you're starting to make loopholes. So it should be mutter. Okay, so again, so far the Gemara is really is maintaining it, because the Braisa doesn't give what the case is, what exactly did he change. It's really very simple to explain this Braisa both according to Rav and according to Rav, because you can make up the case. You can add your own explanation. What the case is, what did I change? Did I change the whole verbiage, or did I just add that I want a heter? So according to Rav, we'll say I changed everything. According to Rav, we'll say no, I didn't change that much. I just wanted a clarification, and that's where the machlekes is, because clearly that's a case where the machlekes is. So these are the kashas that we had. Notice all the kashas are in Rav, and we have a teretz each time for Rav. Lastly, we're going to finish off the Gemara with the Mishnah, and the Gemara says like this: Man Tana Lahoda Tana Rabbanan. Remember, this next brisa is going to be very, very simple once you have all the shitas and where everything falls into place in your mind or on the paper. But if you know what everybody holds, then reading this brisa, this last brisa, is very simple. Man Tana Lahoda Tana Rabbanan. So who would be the author of this brisa that we learned, that which we learned? It says, Noder mechamisha b'nei Adam, I made a nether against five people, ke'echad, as one. Okay, so that would, generally speaking, that is saying, that's a kulchem. That's similar to saying the word kulchem. Huter le'echad man, huter kulon. So here we say that if one of them is no longer included in the rule, so all of them become mutter. Okay, we're going to explain this scenario. We're going to explain this in a moment. So obviously, we'll have to see what I changed. And this is going to depend on Rabba and Rava. What did I change when I said this one guy is the exception? Chutz me'echad mehen. But let's say now I said, I only want one person. Instead of saying that one of them is totally mutter, I only said chutz me'echad mehen. So then, who mutter v'hein asur? And this one person is going to be mutter, and the rest remain also. So in this brisa itself, it's very unclear what the case is, but the brisa itself definitely tells us there are some scenarios where everybody becomes mutter, and there's some scenarios where only one of them becomes mutter. So how do you explain this brisa? So he says it's very simple. Ila rabba. So this is just, now the Gemara is going to set it up to be very consistent. Ila rabba. Reisha Rabbi Akiva v'seifa divrei hakol. So again, let's go through this again. According to Rabbo, I'm just going to say, when you change everything, everybody holds its, when you change everything, it's machlekes. Let's just focus on Rabbo's opinion for a moment. Okay, according to Rabbo, when I change everything, that's where Rabbi Akiva says it's mutter. But if I don't change anything, everybody else is going to hold its asur. So, if there's a case in this Braisa that says that it's mutter, the only shita, according to Rabba, that holds its mutter is Rabbi Akiva, if I changed everything. Okay, so that's why the Gemara says, Ila Rabba, Reisha Rabbi Akiva. So then, according to the Rabba, the Reisha can only be Rabbi Akiva, because the Reisha has to be a scenario where I changed everything, and Rabbi Akiva is the only opinion, when I changed everything, that it's going to be mutter. Otherwise, everything's going to be Asr. The Sefer Divrei Hakol, and the end of the Braisa where it says everything remains Asr, could be everybody. Why? Because it depends on my situation. So because even Rabbi Akiva will agree that if I didn't really change that much, it's going to be Asr. Remember, that's according to Rabba, because remember, there's no machloikis if I didn't change anything, according to Rabba. Meaning, even Rabbi Akiva would agree, or even Beis Hillel, if you want to look at it that way, would agree that if I don't really change the neder, that it's going to be Asr. It's just a clarification. Fine, a clarification, we can handle a clarification. So it's going to be Divrei Hakol. Ilu Rava. Now, that's all again according to Rava that says they argue when I changed everything. Now, let's put in our brain for a second. Let's focus just on Rava Shita. What did Rava say? Rava said they argue when I didn't change anything. But when I changed everything, everybody's going to hold its mutter. So that's going to be very simple. So Ilu Rava Seifa Rabbanon. The Seifa again, because the Seifa is a case where I didn't change anything. Now, if I didn't change anything, so then only the Rabbanon are going to hold its Osir. If I didn't change anything, that's the case of the Seifa. I didn't change anything. Only the Rabbanon hold that its Osir, because the Rabbi Akiva argues even in a case where I didn't change anything. The Reisha Devreko. The Reisha becomes everybody's opinion, because according to Rava, if I change everything, everybody holds its mutter. There's no machlekes over there anymore. Because I changed so much, it's not my original nether anymore, so it's all going to be mutter. Now, so this is, so it depends on which, whether you take Rabba's approach, or you take Rabba's approach, is going to change who the author of the Mishnah is, which shita the Mishnah is trying to bring out. But it could work according to either opinion. The Ran spends a lot of time at the end of the sugya going through what the halacha is. There's a long run starting from the bottom of Chavav and Mabez all the way to the middle, or until the wide lines on Chavzai and Ralph, what the halacha is. He brings a very interesting controversy, whether we paskin like Rava or we paskin like Rabba. On the one hand, Rabba was Rava's Rebbe, so usually you follow the Rebbe. On the other hand, Rava is the later Amoira, and as a general rule, as we come Psak Halacha, again, there's a talking about exceptions to the rule, like we're talking in the sugya, but there are exceptions to the rule, but the general rule is the later Amoira. Usually passing like the later Amoira, because the idea is the later Amoira got to see the entire sugya and got to weigh back and forth all the various opinions and then put them all together and pick the opinion which, so to speak, works the best. You know, after seeing all the variables. In any event, so the Ran says, so there are those that pass like Rava because of the Rebbe, there are those that pass like Rava. So ultimately though, the Ran says if we're going to pick up Psak Halacha, we're going to follow Rava's opinion. And he also adds that brings one Shita. But then he brings another machlekes about whether or not, when the person realized and made the mistake, did he know that his father was part of the group in the first place? When he changed his mind and said, oh, I don't want my father to be included. So he brings a shita that says that it's talking about that he didn't know that his father was there. So then when he changed his nether and said, oh, had I known, I would have made a totally different nether in the first place. So meaning, he's acknowledging that the nether itself was never really the right nether in the first place. That's how others paskin. However, the Ran brings the Ramban that says that we're not talking about we're talking about even if he knew that his father was there. And then he changed his mind and said, no, I don't want my father to be also, which is a very big thing. This is not the simple way of the way we're reading, but that's the way the Ram Paskins that we're talking about in all scenarios, even if he knew his father was part of the group. Okay? Now, then the second point that the Ran says, also in Psak Halacha, is we're talking about when we say that he changed the nether, how did he change the nether? Did he change the nether because he went to a Rav to ask a Shai, say, oh, I want to be Matur the nether and I want to start over again? Or are we talking about that he had Charata? He says, oh, I never would have made that nether in the first place. So we're talking about where the Ran says that again brings the Ramban that we're talking about where he's acknowledging that there was a mistake and he never really meant to make the neder in the first place. So it's not that it's a Pesach, but rather it's a Charoto. The other way around. Dafka b'nodah shota yidei Pesach. It's a Pesach. That he's saying that I didn't want to make this neder, but rather it just comes out in a whole different scenario than I originally planned, so I never would have wanted to make the neder in this manner in the first place. So that again is the second point in terms of what the case is over here and how it apply la halacha, that's what the whole sugi over here is talking about. Ran does bring Shitas Tosfos that says it's even talking about Charata, which is, by the way, the way we've been explaining the Gemara till now. It's always been talking about Charata, that he meant, oh, I never would have wanted to make the Neder like that in the first place. That takes us to the Mishnah. That's the end of that Sugya, which is essentially the Machlekes, Rabba and Rava, where Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim argue. And again, that's also one of the side points that Ran makes, whether this is really to explain Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, this is to explain the Machlokes Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim. We've been going with the Ran Shita that essentially it's the same, that Rabbi Akiva lines up with Beis Hillel and the Chachamim line up with Beis Shammai. And that's the approach that we've been taking throughout this entire sugya. Okay.
Thank you for giving me this.
Now, let's start the next Mishnah, which is slightly easier. Nidrei Oinsim. So, as you know, we've already had sugyas of Nidrei Shagagos, Nidrei Havai, Nidrei Zrizin. So this is the last of a set of four types of Nidarim, where, even though I said the words, and I meant, let's so to speak say, I meant to make a Neder, but because of the scenario that it occurred, that Neder is really not a good Neder. Just like, again, just to illustrate the point, just like by Nidre's reason where I say I swear or make a Neder that I'm not selling it for less than a dollar, we all know that that's not what I meant. So we understand in that case that's not a Neder. That's not the way to be Mekabel a Neder. So here is another exception, which is interesting because in this case, the Neder was Chal. But then later scenarios, later it tells us that the nether was not meant to be a nether in that scenario. Now, I'm explaining this Mishnah according to the Shitas Haran, there's a Machlokes Rishonim, about exactly how this exactly works, so I am following the Ran's opinion, which is the Ran and many other Shitas hold like the Ran, the Rosh and so on and so forth, and many other Shitas hold like the Ran as well. But the point is, Nidrei Oinsin is a Neder. It turns out that I cannot fulfill this Neder because of an Oinus, outside factors that make it, I'm going to use the word impossible, but the Ran very clearly says that it's not impossible. It makes it that I would not, under normal circumstances, fulfill this Neder. So that's why I never meant to make the Neder that way in the first place, and that's why the Neder is not Chal. So, what's your case? Nidrei Oinsin. So I have a Neder, and then there's an Oinus that happens and makes it not possible for me to fulfill the Neder. Hadiru Chaveira Shayechel Etzloi. So somebody made a Neder saying, I want you to come to eat at my house. Now, and the Neder is, again, just to use the proper lotion of a Neder, is the Neder is, and if you don't come to my house, I want my property to be ushered to you. Okay? So I want everything to be ushered. Let's say, for example, just so that you can follow the case, a father tells his son, I want you to come home for Shabbos. I want you to be here for Shabbos. And the son, and if you don't come, don't bother coming, don't ever, you know, it's either this Shabbos or never. So I want that, again, just playing out the scenario so we can follow the case. The chola who, and then the son, in my case, or this person that he made the neder to becomes sick, or his son becomes sick, and making it difficult, again, I don't want to use the word impossible, it's something out of his control where under normal circumstances he would not travel, he would not leave what he's doing in order to be able to come. So therefore that's an oinus, or even something, an outside factor like the river got in the way and therefore he's not able to arrive. All those cases are considered nidrei oinsin, meaning an outside factor, something that he didn't plan for, it's out of his control. So then that's considered an oinus, and we again explain Shitas Haran that therefore I never meant to make the neder and asur all my property because of that scenario. I meant, if you could come and you choose not to come, so that's when I'm saying everything, the neder should be chal and everything should be asur. That's the Mishnah. Okay, so now, let's see how that plays out. Ahu gavra, zok to gemara. Ahu gavra da'atvis zuchusei bebei dina. There was a person who left his chus at the bebei dina. So let me explain. The halacha is that when you go to Bezdin Paskins, generally whatever Bezdin says, that's final. But sometimes a person can say to Bezdin, you know, I didn't come prepared. I really do have other evidence and other proof that I can use to really prove my side of the case. So give me some time. So Bezdin doesn't really like this idea. So sometimes Bezdin will say, fine, you have 30 days to prove your side of the case. Otherwise, there's no appeal. Otherwise, what we said is final. So here was the scenario was specifically where the guy said, I need 30 days to prove my case. But meanwhile, I'm leaving the shtar, whatever shtar it is. I have a promissory note of some sort. And I'm leaving that in the hands of Bezin. V'omar, and the Gemara says, and he says, If I don't come back within 30 days to prove my point, levatlon hani zchusay, being mevatel my zchusim. So now that's a very interesting lashon, as we'll see later in the Gemara. It's, what did he mean by being? What did the word mevatel mean? The pashtus is, and the way the Ran learns in the beginning, is that I'm just saying I'm giving it to you. In other words, you could use this shtar to pay my debt. As I'm being moichel what it says in this shtar. So I gave collateral to back my case. Itnis, and of course, the relevance to our sugi over here is he had an oinis, and the reason why he did veloy also, and he didn't come. Okay, so that's the relevance over here. The reason why he didn't come back in 30 days is not because he didn't try, it's not because of lack of effort, it's just because he couldn't, for whatever reason he couldn't. So Amar Rav Huna, so we have a machloikis. Rav Huna says, Baltus Chuzay. Rav Huna says, okay, that's it. He gave himself 30 days. 30 days is 30 days. That's the condition. The condition is 30 days or else. And he didn't show up. Amar Le Rav, so Rav says, I don't understand. Oinis who? Voinis Rachmana Patri. This is a general rule. He, of course, he meant to come back in 30 days. You can't hold it against him when something completely out of his control happens. And it should be no different than any other oinis. Any other na'inis, and therefore he should still have the opportunity, if he shows up later, to say, no, I'm here now, until now it wasn't my fault. And I should still have an opportunity to argue my case. Now how do we know there's a concept of Einis Rachmana Padre Dechsev, as the Pasuk says, Ulanairo Loisase Dover. This is talking about where somebody takes a girl and acts inappropriately. Obviously it's punishable by death, because she is an arusa, she's engaged. And then they did this act. Now it's completely out of her control. So the halacha is, and the Torah says, that she is not punished for that. Whereas the guy who did what he did, he's going to be punishable. So, but we see that because it was out of her control, she is not punished. So we see there's a concept of oinus that we don't hold it against you. So the Gemara says, v'chi tema katalo shani. And if you'll tell me, okay, obviously she's not going to put her to death because of something that's out of her control, but maybe an oinus under, for business purposes is not an excuse. I'll tell you about Tanan. That's why we have our Mishnah that proves that the concept of oinus applies all around. I'm reading this again the way the Ran learns. Others learn the Gemara slightly differently, but that's the Pashas for Tanan. We have our Mishnah. It says Nidre Oinsin. Our Mishnah says, what is an oinus? Hediru chaver sheyochel etzlay. I told you to come eat with me. V'chalahu oishachal benay. And then the guest becomes sick. Or son becomes sick, or the river got in the way, Hare Elu Nidre Oinsin. So that is considered an oinus. So we see that oinus is not only limited to a death scenario, it's also applies, you can have the concept of oinus and held not against you, even in a regular, in a monetary issue or in an isser issue of Nidar. Okay. Okay, so that's the machlokes. So Rava says this oinus is no different than any other oinus, and it shouldn't be held against me. And therefore, I still have, when eventually the oinus goes away, I can come to Bezdin and argue my case, and I didn't give up any rights. Whereas Rav Huna says, Rav Huna says no, that over here I was mevatel, because that is a scenario where I should have contemplated. I shouldn't have made this condition of 30 days, and it's an absolute deadline no matter what. Okay, sometimes it's what we call in the legal profession the outside date. If once I create an outside date, that's the latest I'm able to go. It's not, I don't care whether it's your fault or not your fault, that's it. The deal is over. Because, at some point we just have to say, I'm not waiting around anymore. I don't care whether it's your fault or not. In any event, that is Rav Huna's approach to this, and says, it doesn't matter that it's an oinus. And Rav says, no, oinus trumps everything. Okay. Yeah. We've established that there is an oinus is always an excuse, according to Rava, that's the point. Now we're going to start bringing cases where, even where there's an oinus, it's not necessarily an excuse. So the Gemara asks like this, L'Rava, Maishna, Mehodetnan. Why is this case, this oinus, different in the following Mishnah? Mishnah says, Arezigi Teich Ma'achshov, Imloi Bosim Mikan Vaad Yud Beis Chodesh. So we've seen this case before in Ksubis, where a guy says, I'm handing you the get now, I plan to come back, if I'm not back in 12 months, then the get is going to be chal. And then, of course, the guy The case for our purposes is the guy dies, so therefore he doesn't come back in 12 months. Hareze get, it is going to be a get because he didn't fulfill the condition of coming back. But the Gemara asks, I don't understand. Amai vahaminis itnis. This is your classic oinus. The guy died. Of course, it's out of his control. He can't come back. So why don't we look at this and say it's not a good get? And we should give him the opportunity to come back. In other words, he really did come back, except that he didn't come back because an oinus forced him not to be able to come back, so the get shouldn't be chal. And he said, if it's out of my, I only meant if I choose not to come back. So why over there is the get chal? So Amri, Dilma Shani Hassan, the Gemara says, no, maybe that case, in the case where the guy died, is different. Now I'm on the top of Chav Zayin on the base. Do you have a yoda de mace? Because if he knew that he was going to die, min la'alta have gomer v'yav gita, he would have given the get in the first place. Okay, what does that mean? In other words, really, Aines, in general, of course, is a good excuse. Over here, specifically, he doesn't want the Aines. He doesn't want the Aines when he dies to kick in. He really, because the goal that he's trying to accomplish here is that he doesn't want her to become a Yavama. That's why, meaning, let's say there's a guy who's married, he doesn't have any children, and he knows that if he dies, then he dies without any children, his wife becomes stuck in the Parsha of Yibum. So to get her out of the Parsha of Yibum, he gives her a get, which is fine. So he really wants the get to be chal. So he doesn't want this oinus to be an excuse. He wants the get to be chal. So that's why, really, batzem and oinus is a good excuse. And if he wanted to argue, make the argument that I have an oinus and I should be exempt, he could. But he doesn't want to make the argument over here. So that's why we allow the get to go through to save her from the Parsha of Yibum. But Rava is still intact, in the sense that an oinus is a good excuse, and I'll just add the words, when he wants it to be a good excuse. The reason why this is so important to understand that it's the person doesn't want to use the argument of oinus is because Lamaisa, as the Ran does point out, there is another teretz in the Gemara in Ksuvis, where the Gemara says that we wouldn't want death to be a good excuse, an oinus to be a good excuse anyway, because otherwise we have a problem of what the Gemara says, mishum tsnuois u'mishum prutzois. That we don't want, in a case of in get, we put our foot down, that the rules are rules. And by get, there are no exceptions to the rules when it comes to a get, because otherwise we have a scenario where a guy says, I'll come back in 12 months, and the wife is like, oh, she's waiting, she thinks, oh, really, he wanted to come back, and it's an oinus, and then she'll never get remarried. She'll be an aguna the rest of her life, because she thinks maybe there's an oinus. So we don't want that to happen. And the other way is around also, because if we're going to allow an oinus, then what happens is, really, he was an oinus, and really, he should be able to come back, and we have the girls who say, nope, he didn't come back, I don't care, I'm getting remarried, and then he comes back a year later because of an oinus, and she really never got her get, so that's Mishum Prutzos. So there is another teretz in the Gemara, where the Gemara says that we just don't allow oinus no matter what, when it comes to get, by getin, we have a hard rule that, we have a hard rule that 12 months is, it doesn't have to be 12 months, but the point is once he gives her the get, that we don't care about what happens either, if he fulfills the condition, or he doesn't. In any event, okay, so but that's the other terrace of the Gemara, and the Ran says we're not addressing that terrace because that's not what the Maksha wasn't going along with that. We were just focused on the oinus, so we're just going to focus on the oinus. Okay, now let's continue forward. The same thing the Gemara asked, Maishna Mehahu to Amar Luhu. We have another case of oinus. But one person says, Eloi asina mikan va'atlasin yoimin v'havegeta. Similar idea, where he gives himself 30 days, not 12 months, but he says, if I'm not back in 30 days, I want it to be a get. Also, and he came. Uposka mavra. But the problem was that, again, Rashi and Ksuba brings two pshatim, either the boat, the ferry that usually brings you across is not there, or the bridge, that is, something broke, and the point is that he's not able to get back. And it's clearly an oinus. Amar lahu. And he says to everybody, Chazuda asoy, see, I'm here. I'm really here. I'm just stuck on the other side of the river. V'amar Shmuel, lo yishmei masya. And Shmuel once again says, sorry, you're not here. I don't care why, you're not here. So the Gemara once again asks, am I? Why can't he use that excuse? V'amen is honest. This is clearly an oinus. He's showing you that it has every intention to come, and the only reason he's not here is because of some outside factor which is interfering with him. So, according to you, Rovo, that says oinus applies in all places, why wouldn't oinus apply in this case? So the Gemara gives a very important yisoid. Dilma einsa de negalya shani. Maybe where you have an oinus, which is so obvious, that's not an excuse. Umavra migle einsa. And a bridge or a boat is something that's revealed to everybody. What we mean is as follows. There are different types of einsim. There are einsim that you can predict, and there are einsim which you can't predict. Nobody can predict some crazy scenario where nobody thought of this, and then, a war breaks out. Nobody can predict something like that. But the fact that there could be traffic, that's very predictable. So the guy says, I plan on showing up on time. You should say, unless there's traffic. Because that happens often enough that everybody knows that that's a possibility, and if you don't say it, it's your loss for not pointing that out. So therefore, the Gemara is saying like this, really, oinus is an excuse, and Rava is really correct. But over here, when the oinus is something which should have been preempted, which should have been taken into consideration or stated, and you didn't bother to state it, meaning you're not giving it, you no longer have the right to claim it as an excuse because it's so obvious and you missed it. Fine. That's all these kashas are according to Rava that says oinus always works. Now the Gemara flips the other way around. Ula Rav Huna. And Rav Huna says, no, I'm not going to give you the excuse of oinus. And therefore, what I gave to Bezdin, my shtarois, let's say, and Bezdin released them. Bezdin was holding them in escrow, and Bezdin released them. And Rav Huna says, too bad, Bezdin has every right to release it. But now the Gemara asks the famous question, Michti. Asmachtahi. This is an asmachta. So we're going to explain asmachta. It has various ways to explain. Asmachta generally is explained as, I thought this wasn't going to happen. I thought that I was safe and I wasn't going to lose my money. So therefore I didn't really mean it. Again, I know there are other explanations. That's the simple explanation for now. It's an asmachta. I'm relying on the fact that I can control the situation. The asmachta loy kanya. And there the Gemara is taking the position that asmachta is not kanya. Meaning, if I have to pay something because of a scenario which I didn't expect to happen, I didn't really expect to pay, so I never really made up my mind to allow that payment to go through. So I shouldn't be on the hook. Asmachta loy kanya. I didn't really mean to, I didn't never really wanted and intended for this payment to go through. So if so, the question is, I don't understand. Over here, I put the shtaris in Besdin's hands, and I'm an oinus. So forget about whether the oinus is a good oinus or not. Even, stam, I never expected that Besdin is going to release it, so I don't expect that I should be on the hook for it. Why is Besdin releasing it against my will? So the Gemara answers, Shani hacha demitvasan zuchuse. The difference is that they're already holding on to my shtaris. The chuse over here means my shtaris. So it's a very important yisoid. When we say asmachta loy kanya, again, I have to say that there's a lot of different pshatim, but I'm going to say the way the Ran learns the pashtos is asmachta loy kanya is when you're expecting something to happen and then I'm going to either have to pay. I'm going to have to pay if that plays out. So over there, I never really intended to pay you. I never really intended to pay. So you can't turn around and say, well, it happened, now you have to pay. No, asmachta loy kanya, I never in my mind thought I was going to have to pay. Over here, I already made the payment. I already gave the shtaros to Bezdin. I released the funds. And I'm just making a condition when they could be released from escrow, from Bezdin that's already has them. So that's not, asmachta doesn't, that's not where asmachta is generally, because I already made the payment. So the money's already out of my reshus, so I can't say I didn't expect to lose the money because I already took the money out of my pocket. So that's why the matzvah and zuchusan, where Bezdin's already holding on to it, then you can't. That's not a problem of asmachta. So the Gemara says, but the Gemara does ask. The Gemara does this, v'hecha the mitvasan lava smachti. So you're telling me anytime I put the money out already, it's never an asmachta. But tonight we do have a case like that. Misha para mitzas choyvoy. A person paid half of his obligation. V'hishlish ashtaroy. And then he has other notes that are worth, had value. And he gave them into the hands of a third party. V'omar, and he says, emeinani noisin loy, mikanat loisin yoim. If I don't pay my other half of my debt, tain loy shtaroy, then you could release my shtar. Higiyaz mamaloy nosan. And here it says, okay, so the 30 days comes and goes, and he didn't pay his other half of the debt. Rabbi Yossi Yomer Yitain, Rabbi Yossi says you should give it, which is consistent with what we're saying. But the Chiddush is Rabbi Yehuda Yomer Lo Yitain. And Rabbi Yehuda says, don't give it. V'amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Baravu, Amar Rav, Ein Halacha K'Rabbi Yossi. We don't paskin like Rabbi Yossi to Amar Asmachta Kanya. Because Rabbi Yossi says Asmachta Kanya, we don't paskin like Rabbi Yossi. Ella, rather, we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, that says Asmachta Loi Kanya. Now here's a case where I already handed over my shtar to somebody else. And even so, the Brisa is using the concept of Asmachta and saying Asmachta Loi Kanya, even though I already handed it over to a third party. So I don't understand. You just told me that that's not where the Asmachta is if I already handed it over. So they're going to answer Shani Ocho to Omar Levatlan Zuchuse. Okay, so here's where we said before. Over here it's different because you're right. The Gemara is saying it's true. Really, it's that even if I handed it over, it could be an asmachta, and it could be the expectation is I shouldn't have to make the payment. But in our case, the case that we're talking about, where I handed over the shtaros to the Beis Din, over here, it's different because now this is where you have the machlokes that we were discussing before, the machlokes Rambam and Ramban and the Ran, and what the word levatlan zuchuse, what exactly is the difference? Over here, levatlan zuchuse is because he already made the payment. He already gave it to Beis Din as the payment. He owes the money, and he agrees he owes the money. What he was trying to do was he was trying to find a different excuse to say, I shouldn't have to pay. So then, we say, excuse me, Levatlon Zuchuse, the Pashtus was that he since he gave it over already, and he already, so to speak, made the payment, he already lost the case. He was trying to, Levatlon Zuchuse, meaning that he was already lost the right to that money. And he was trying to get the money back, so that's not an asmachta. Then he already gave the money. That's the way the Ramban learns. Rashi, on the other hand, actually learns that over here, levatlan zuchuse means I lost my right to fight the case. So over here, because it's a slightly different issue over here, because over here it was contingent on whether I have the right to do the case, whether I'm moichel the case, or not whether I'm moichel the money, but rather whether I'm moichel the case. So therefore, I'm a moide that I don't have the right to fight to appeal. I lost, okay, the way Rashi is learning is I lost my right to appeal. That's what Levatlan Zuchuse. Because again, over here I gave the money, I lost the case already, and I'm trying to appeal. So an appeal, that's not an asmachta anymore. That's not something that I can rely on, and therefore I lose my rights. There I do lose my rights because I already gave the money and I'm trying to fight, appeal the case, so I lose my rights to appeal. So that's why over here it's different. That's the way Rashi learns. In any event, the Gemara does conclude as follows. Hilchasa asmachta kanya. We could say that even asmachta, meaning relying on whether or not I'm going to have to pay, could sometimes, I should have to make the payment, but the Gemara clarifies and qualifies this. But who deloy onus has to be that there's no onus involved. The who the konamime mine the bezdin choshev. Okay, and it also, when do we say asmachta kanya that you have to make the payment is when I already put the money in a bezdin choshev. What's a bezdin choshev? So once again, you have a machlekes rishonim over here. The Rambam learns a bezdin choshev, and by the way, it's interesting. The Rambam is consistent in Shas whenever we use the word bezdin choshev that he means a bezdin mumcho, that it has to be a. It has to be a bezdin that knows how to paskin. The Ran learns that a bezdin choshev is a bezdin that has power, that they actually have the authority to enforce something. So if I just gave my money to some random guy who doesn't really have control of the situation, he just happens to be a third party, we still hold a smachta loikanya. He doesn't have the right to release. So an escrow agent, a random escrow agent, does not have the right to release the money, even though he doesn't have a right to release it because the person never really thought that he would have to release it. Whereas when you're dealing with a bezdin that has the power to, has the authority to enforce the din, so then that's the way the Ran learns is a bezdin choshev. then you gave it over to them. They're in control of the situation because they could decide which way to go, and then it's not a problem of asmachta anymore. Then asmachta is kanya, because once you give it over to them, you understand and realize that Bezdin is going to take control. They're going to make the decisions. Okay, so that's the basic rule. So it comes out that the Gemara here says a very interesting thing. The Gemara says it's still in the category of asmachta, and asmachta can work as long as it wasn't an oinis, and you gave the money to let's call it a powerful third party. Either chashuv because they know the din, or chashuv because they can enforce it, or they're the ones that are relied upon by everybody. Okay, so that is again in this scenario where we will say asmachta kanya. We'll stop over here. We have a Mishnah on the bottom of the Amud, but we'll start with the Mishnah Mirtz Hashem next time.